He pleads with him, saying, fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Their original yoke was worshiping devils and things that which are no gods and demons of the Gentile nations. That was their former yoke of bondage. But he viewed this religious bondage as the same thing. Don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage which was Judaism to them. But they'll come to you with thousands of principles that you're going to have to learn how to keep. A preacher came to my church one time. Somebody recommended him. I had him preach. He's preaching principles. He said there's, I think it's 525 principles to a happy marriage. He said, you've got to know every one of them. I didn't hesitate. I leaned over to my wife and said, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. If I got to learn 525 principles to have a happy marriage, we might as well go on down to the divorce court today and get it over with. Because we're not going to have a happy marriage. We're still together. Praise God. Why? Because He gave me one thing to do. He said, love her as Christ loved the church. Two things to do. And love her like you love your own body. Hallelujah. And it works. It works. I said, it works. Nobody ever had a happier marriage than I've got because He said, love her like Christ loved the church and love her as you love your own body. He didn't give me 525 principles. But the Galatian church. But in the fifth chapter, He says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the human nature. Walk in the Spirit. Sin was not the problem, but religion was in their case. And the desires of human nature. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, if you know the English language, what He just said is the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. It means the desires of the human nature and the desires of the Spirit of God are totally contrary one to the other. One's going this direction and the other's going that direction. Praise God. And if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the desires of the human nature. Praise God. You don't have to worry about those things if you walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? I could give you a 10-step plan of how to walk in the Spirit. You'd be trying to walk in the Spirit in the flesh. You would. Trying to walk in the Spirit in the flesh. Your human nature would be trying to walk in the Spirit. The human nature can't walk in the Spirit. If you're a child of God, your human nature does not have sin in it. It's not controlled by sin, but it's attracted to beauty, nourishment, and wisdom, which will take you away from the tree of life. Amen. To the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How then do you walk in the Spirit? Paul said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You come into the presence of God Almighty every day that you live until His presence is working actively in you. Day by day, you will walk in the Spirit. If I tell you the first principle of how to walk in the Spirit other than being renewed in the Spirit day by day, you'll be trying to walk in the Spirit by the flesh, according to the understanding of the flesh, and you cannot walk in the Spirit. You'll never be spiritual in your lifetime. But if you be renewed in the Spirit day by day, you will walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the human nature. You will not be drawn away to the things of the world. Praise God, as you abide in Him and renewed in the Spirit day by day. The third church, and I can't spend as long on the third as I have the first two because we'll be here to service time. But the Ephesian church. Remember to the church at Corinthians, to those who are called saints. You're carnal. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. The Ephesian church, he said, I write to the saints at Ephesus. No rebuke. No reproof. Words of Spirit and life from the apostle to the Spirit of the born again. Look at the first chapter. He tells that first Jewish church that first trusted in Christ, everything that God did. The first 11 verses of Ephesians 1, 12th verse, in order that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. He's talking about that Jewish first church that day of Pentecost that turned the world upside down because they trusted the Christ. And then, in whom ye also trusted, 13th verse, Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. You've got to have a reason to trust before you can trust. You've got to have a reason. Give me a reason to trust. Well, praise God. He's the seed of the woman that bruised the head of the serpent. Can you trust in that? He's the Christ that came and made an end of sins and brought in everlasting righteousness. Can you trust in that? It's the only way you'll ever have it, to trust in it. Trust in Him that did it. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came and made an end of sins, etc., etc. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They had their day of Pentecost.
Amen.
After they believed.
Amen.
Which is the earnest guarantee of our inheritance until, the Greek word eis means into. Not the Holy Ghost given to help us through life until we die and go to heaven, but a Holy Ghost that's given as a guarantee of the inheritance to bring us into the redemption of the purchased possession and to pick us up into those heavenly places. Praise God. And then he prays for them. After I saw your faith in Christ and your love for all saints, he said, I prayed for you that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you might know. And the Greek word says that you might see. Open your eyes so you can see. That's what the brother said. I see, I see, I see. See, God opened his eyes to something. It was there all the time. He opened his eyes. He saw. I saw. You saw. Praise God. But that you might see what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? What has he called me for? We can easily say, well, he called you out of this, and he called you out of this, but what he called you to? 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14, 13 says, he hath called you into salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief unto the truth, whereunto he hath called you by our gospel unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In three more places, he said, he's called us unto the obtaining of the glory. But what is the hope of our calling? He goes on that you might see what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, which is according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead. Now, I read that several years ago and I said, wait. He said that power that works in us is the same as the power that worked in Christ when it raised him from the dead.
Amen. Amen.
I wish I'd have said when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Because I want to raise Lazarus from the dead, you know. I want to stretch out my hands and lightning shoot out of my fingers. I want to point at you and you do two backflips and, you know, land unhurt on the floor. That's what I want to do. No, I'm joking with you. You understand? Praise God. But he said that exceeding greatness of his power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only this world, but in the world to come. And it set all things under his feet, and made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There's the hope of calling. Praise God. that He hath called me to be redeemed, to trust in Christ, to be filled with that Holy Spirit of promise that guarantees that He'll pick me up into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Bestow upon me all spiritual blessings, praise God. Put all things under my feet and be a part, a member of a body that is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Have I ever seen a church like that? Boy, I was saved in a good church. It wasn't like that. I've been in some good churches. They weren't like that. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. But I want to tell you, the church that He purchased with His blood, the church He poured His Spirit out upon on the day of Pentecost, 120. That church was 120. And every one of them was full of the Holy Ghost. And every one of them had the manifestation of the Spirit. Every one of them. Each member of the body. We make a mistake when we carnally try to put together a body and say, you're a member of the body, you're a member of the body, you're a member of the body, you've repeated the sinner's prayer, you're the member of the body. You know, and now then I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and you know, and we're forming a body that's carnal. And we're forming a body that has no life in it. But in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it says, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body. Praise God. Hallelujah. By one Spirit, you're baptized. He's talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost there. The first baptism is baptism into His death. The second baptism is by the Holy Ghost into His body. And He says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's speaking of every member that's full of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God working in them. To one is given the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, and so forth. But it's not a carnal body. It's a spiritual body. But it is also a flesh and bone body, because we are the body of Christ in flesh and bone, a manifestation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah, people. Praise the Lord. But don't form a carnal body and don't speak to the body as carnal. Speak to the body as spiritual. As spiritual.